Selenium, I already posted stuff today, which you should please prepare, because if you want to follow everything, it's easy. Maybe like IPython, open the shell and already load Selenium when I put it on the slides, so we can help each other. So, making an atom feed using Selenium. Okay, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I have to regenerate. Yes, I took old slides. There we go. And then 2 seconds. I have scripted everything. This is when you don't look at everything. There we go. There we have it. It's changed. Our sync is the best. There we go. Now it's. Yeah, ADC already did, but you can't delete from my 20H account when you are the presenter. So, making S feed. The web is getting more complex, as already you above was saying, because. But it's getting more corrupt, more commercial, and they don't like users. You have pure AutoScript framework, auto-generated websites with nothing to parse from. As you can see from the website we will be parsing today, this is true. Do you have like people who have a model? This model is then generating some JavaScript, then some objects. And this is then generating JavaScript files which only fit to this version. So you have like an API key which will change, but it's loaded in like two depending JavaScript files. So even if you find the key in the first source code, but you never find it because you have to load at least one JavaScript file to find it, and then it could be encrypted because people tend to encrypt JavaScript in some strange way, then you have no way to get further. So if you just like use the old method, you will look at it how the old method or easy way of making an atom feed from something is made. This won't work. The only way to content is to get the content is to execute JavaScript. So sadly, we will need some part of a browser, which we will try to avoid. So, but there's not just some JavaScript engine. All is intertwined, and Google wanted it that way because it's not just JavaScript. It's CSS. It's how it's displayed. It's you want to click on something, and this is what developers of websites use to interact. It's a real big mess, but I don't have to tell you about the web. So this is basic atom feed generation. How I use it because I have my own framework. I have like in my home directory slash atoms directory, and then there is like RSS minus something scripts, and they will be executed with a cron job, and then I give this file to my RSS reader or atom reader, which is S feed, and this is a basic one. You just put there the header with basic stuff. Edit this, and then you get some URI, grep for the content or whatever, and then a set. Normally, you get the set there is for removing HTML tags. Then you read the line, make an entry per line, and output this. Done. Pretty easy. Not much done. You can execute this in SH or Bash. It's all possible. But as you can see, it's just a simple pipeline. You can, of course, extend the pipeline. You could use SFeed tools, whatever. But this is then usable in other Atom readers. But then things evolved. This whole actually the whole topic is scraping. What we're using is web scraping, but we use scraping for Atom feeds. Scraping is a method that you want to have robots getting data from websites. This evolved over time, like you had frameworks like Python requests, you still use them, they're still used. like you have overloading of objects, what they do, but they don't allow this dynamism. Then we had WebKit, as you know from Surf. We had Surf 1 and then had smaller web browsers, but then the development kept up too fast and WebKit wasn't changed its API, and so all everything go down. Like PhantomJS was one of the first implementations. They first had JavaScript on their own, then they used the web browser, then they used WebKit. But things evolved and changed, and that's because of feature bloat. Corporate stuff needed more stuff. They needed to sell products besides everything working. That's the basic problem in corporatism. Then many intermediate steps followed until we are in the current state, because as I can tell you already, we will go for some standard now, which will not change. So we could make simple tools to control web browsers, and Google can't easily get us out of the market again. But I will skip the intermediate steps because there were really ugly formats like libcef and so on. I have been watching this for years. So this is the current state, WebDriver. As you can see, it's a W3C standard. It's a remote control interface that enables introspection and control over user agents. It provides a platform and language neutral wire protocol as a way for out-of-process programs to remotely instruct the behavior of web browsers. And there's really, really fine-grained atomic interactions you can do now with the web driver. It's, of course, it's W3C. They expose HTTP endpoints over various ways, WebSocks or not. And you do post, delete, get to a session. So you can have different sessions over it too. It's really complex and has much flexibility, but actually the endpoints are just like, I think 25. The activity pub for Mastodon is more complex. This could be easily wrapped into C, like if you see the stuff that Evil Bob is producing, the output is simple. It's simple JSON. We could use that. So for fast prototyping, we use Selenium and Python. As you see, it's not that hard. So first we have to set up the Selenium environment. Get Selenium, pip install Selenium. Pip is a Python package manager. You could use other ways to get the package, or you use your package manager like in Gentoo. Then you need some web driver. Here we use the Chromium web driver. Web drivers can be different. There's Fireworks web driver, and you need to be sure that user bin Chrome driver is there, because this is what Selenium calls with different arguments. So you can download it, or if there's no other way, just go to chromedriver.chromium.org and downloads and get a binary package. That's just Chrome driver binary, and you can reuse it. This is, for example, when you make Docker images. That's the way how you can easily get a Chrome driver. Other web browsers that are supported are Edge, Firefox, Internet Explorer, Safari. But as we know, those are like old supported stuff, because most of them are going for Chromium. Like Edge is going for Chromium. Internet Explorer, that's Edge. And Edge is evil because it's Microsoft. As you know, Edge is uploading all your stuff to some cloud when you enter something. Even more evil than Google and Firefox. Firefox did it too, but they allow you to deactivate it. Edge is doing it like that way, that they send your requests to Bing, and because you really want to have some search in advance, that's what you really want, this user experience, and this is how they break your privacy. So look at this website, because all of them have quirks, but the WebDriver standard is coming and Chromium is implementing it. With some extensions, we will look at it. So this is our basic Selenium script. We have to import Selenium with WebDriver, and then we import already something special. It's called, we import it as BY. Because that's how you easier see what we are doing. Of course, there's a huge complexity in the background. So first we get our driver working, webdriver.chrome. this webdriver.firefox, webdriver.edge, webdriver. This is how you initialize them, but you have to choose one. Then you simply get bitrush.org and you implicitly wait 1.0 and then find element by path. Anyone has installed Selenium to know what's the result of this? Anyone has tries this out? Is anyone working in the background or am I just speaking to a wall? I'm waiting for the chat. I hope people can hear me. Yes, the microphone is on. Message noted, I'm unable to locate element. ADC string. Well, I tried it. It should work. Because there's a class, a proletariat class. ADC, are you escaping the proletariat, right? Please escape the proletariat. Because you have to escape the proletariat as a special class. Yes, Crewy, that's why I added this joke. That's why it's in the bitrush.org source code of the HTML. Now it works. Yeah. And you see, what does it give back? Do you have the right result? Yeah, the SSL cert isn't expired anymore. I updated it this morning because I changed the SS tunnel. It shouldn't be that problem. So, IDC, what's the result? Because there's two things formatted as proletariat class. Actually, it's the gopher.s link to bitrush.org. That's how you get into the proletariat. So, there's other things we can consider. That's the Selenium IDE. Why do I recommend some Firefox extension, or it's also for Chromium, because how do we get, like, we go to some strange ugly website and you're the big web hacker and then you want to do something, but then your laptop is away, you just install this, then it opens your window and it allows recording. So this will open a second window where you already see what we do in the Python, and then you can record what you printed, and then these things can be easily reused in your prototyping in Selenium. It also allows to re-execute your scripts you recorded. So in case you're somewhere in India and have not a laptop around, you can easily script something on the web if there's some thing where you have to click like 1,000 times some link or something. That's how what you can do with this too. It's like basic or Visual Basic for Selenium. Pollux is saying bitrush.org. Yeah, but we are selecting. Okay. So let's see. We have to talk about how do we get content out of this driver object. As I remember, we have a driver object with some website loaded. We want to get something. Here's an example, like this is a paragraph with an element inside. It has ID, a class, a method, and some text. We want to get a text. So there are various ways how you can get into this. First, we have to use the driver find element. You can always make it find elements too. Of course, one will return an array and one will return the first occurrence or the first finding. And you can use ID, that's simple, just the ID text. Tag name, that's the element or the element name, like alum. Then we can use the class name. As you see, it's info. Then XPath. For XPath, you have to know it. It's part of XSLT. It's a complex language. I like it more because it's like going through paths of the tree, and it's better representation of how I think of HTML. That's why I like XPath. But you have it has a completely different syntax. The same is no, not for names. By name is easy. That's for forms because in no forms you name elements. Then by CSS selector, that's also a different sub-language, a meta language. You have to get used to it. I haven't grasped it. I'm using XPath all the time or the simpler ones. Then link text, that's the absolute text name. But if you only know some parts or there's something hidden in the text because there's white space or whatever, you can use partial link text too. So you find stuff. So, and after that, you can of course get attributes like get attribute meta or har href and all that stuff, or info from links or image sources and so on. Selenium can do much more like that, as I already told you. It can do fill out forms, key presses, but we won't handle that today. I'll just tell you that you know this thing can do even more, and it's all in this API I told you. It can upload files, it can emulate key presses even with time precision, send forms, it can scroll web pages. That's, for example, something you can do when you do remote control. You can use Selenium for remote control to scroll down to something. Then you can do pen actions, tablet. Then you can use mouse emulation, drag and drop elements. You can drop one element into another. Ah, yes, and casing mechanize. Mechanize was a library which uses requests, but it wasn't that advanced as Selenium is now. And it had its own API, so I recommend to use something which does WebDriver because this is what the industry is standardizing now on. Groovy is asking something. I will tell you about this when we have the next example. Then we have history, navigate around in the browser. Then we have window manipulation. You can have multiple tabs, you can have window handling. You can handle iframes. Yeah, you have to go between the layers if you want to see something. Then move windows around. Yeah, you can even tell Chromium on something that's not a tiling window manager to go where. You could open menu windows as an art project on a big screen and let them move around, like we did with JavaScript in the 1990s. Yeah, you can do that. And it's now possible, even easier, maybe from the shell. Then you can take screenshots. That's something we not yet use for Anna. Anna is using a Firefox command line. And then we can print websites, of course, to PDFs too. Handle pop-up alerts. Yeah, if there's a pop-up, you have to know about it, and you can open more. Then Zget cookies. Yes, cookies is still something, and maybe when Google changes to the web integrity extension or environment, it will be there too. Then lets you run inline JavaScript. This is a good example for JavaScript. Do you people know this project where someone is converting web to console output? He's using this WebDriver too, and he does something really nice. He runs JavaScript in the website, which makes a huge canvas on the page. Then he gets pixels from this canvas or this rectangular pixel part of the web and converts this to the smaller console version. So you have like an average of the colors, so you still see something. And he of course tries to find in this rectangular text and then outputs it. Because this is something also the Selenium API can do. You can tell it like, I have this rectangular of this website, please give me the links inside of it. And it can tell you like, I want to have the next one right next to it. So this is like relative programming, relative visual programming. I guess it could be used too, because if you look into the history of visual programming, there's like a nice, interesting Soviet programming language which does that. And you could combine it. And you have like small puzzle parts which you put together and have the active change on the website. would be really good for activist stuff and people who don't know programming. Then we have color animations. You can do all kind of changes on the website. You can debug JavaScript, because JavaScript debugging, of course, it's a complete programming language. And then you have like the object stack, you have the log and all of that. That's why it's bi-directional. You just don't give a command, you give an answer back. EvilScript is saying it can also bypass these annoying Cloudflare tests. Yes, it can. You just search for this box to tick and then run it. That's easy. Then you can build huge action chains for time perfect handling. This is an API change that will come to Selenium, but the old one will stay. But the new one is like, because you have many sessions which can run in parallel, and these objects could be exchanged, you don't know what's happening right after which action. And by doing that, you have like actions chained with another. This means, okay, I will shortly exit. This means like driver.get.getElement. Submit button dot click go iframe. So this is the chaining. I mean, you always have dot 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 something, and then the object chain knows what to do. And this of course provokes that there's always known what's next. Yes, deep. So let's go. We have a complex example. Please go to this website, kvsachsen.de. That's the doctor association which gives me money every month and every quarter. 2 months ago, they changed to a more modern website. Modern, cool. And if you look at it, they already replaced the ugly standard motifs with normal doctors, because they're a doctor association with over 7,000 doctors, and they can't get the picture of a real doctor. They have to buy one from a photo stock. And of course, everything's JavaScript framework. They bought it from some hipster company in Leipzig, where Bleak is living. And their news is hidden in JavaScript. I have to load JavaScript for JavaScript and click somewhere, and then I get an idea of a session and have to go there. It's really ugly. There's no RSS feed. The old website didn't have it, but the old website was easy. It was just a paragraph in a table, and I just converted it in the old way like you have seen it. So how do we get to the news? You open this website, this URI, which is static. This is a good one. But this will load with some JavaScript, which will then create a subframe, and this subframe or div is then placed there. So it's not the original requested file. Let's go. We will go through this on Python. If anyone has problems with reading Python, please tell me if you need an explanation. But actually, it's obvious. It's a nice learning language, but don't stop at Python. Always go for C. So first we import a web driver, then we already import options. You will see why we need to give Chrome some options. Then we will need web driver wait. I will tell you too when we use that why. Then expect the conditions. This is really important because we have loading strategies. Then by, this is what we already know. And daytime and PyTZ, this is for getting stuff into our time format. So first is our link, it's defined. Then get the Chrome driver ready. We have the Chrome options. See, these are the options that will be given to Chrome. We have to give it headless, no sandbox. That's for easy execution, because the thing is, you could execute this Chrome driver everywhere. But Chrome and all these big engines have the bad behavior that they of course try to load GPU drivers and all of that stuff, and it could easily fail. So we disable extensions because we don't really need them. We want to start fast. Disable dev SHM usage. That's also one thing, so it doesn't hog these resources. We just want the one shot thing. It should be fast. Then start maximize. That's the thing, so the website couldn't notice that we are small or increasing something, because this is about web footprinting. Because consider this, we have this technology now, and we can do everything, but people will write stuff to prevent us to do this. They will have some ugly JavaScript kicking us out. So we have to look like a standard Chromium, just a window size. And then disable GPU, as I said, because we don't really need it. We just want JavaScript to be executed. So we add these options, and then we run the web driver. Then we, of course, get the content, get. And there comes the magic. Magic. We have to wait for the content to be ready. So normally there are many, there's a huge page on waiting, because as you see, it's not like we just get some data and then parse it, then we already know it's there. But here we have the big problem of, we don't know what the browser is doing, how slow it is, if there's a proxy inside. We don't know all of this. This is adding many layers of complexity. So there's this WebDriver wait thing. We wait for some element to be ready. First we give it a driver, then a timeout. Always give it a timeout, because your script should end. Wait until. EC is the expected conditions we're talking about. And there are many of these. Look at, there's a website at this long URI, and you have like everything, there could be an expected condition. But actually it's your center of knowing, now all the data I want is there. And then you see by XPath, this is something where I can answer the question of Groovy. As you can see, I'm getting as a div with data last letter. So I already searched in the inspector of Firefox, or no, I was using Chrome, to find some way how to identify the route where I can get stuff from. And so I searched for, oh, it's a div. Yeah, but divs, there are many divs in this website, really many divs. But there was only one attribute called data last letter, which is specific to the news. And as you can see, there's no ID in it, it's no strange stuff. It looks like this is the something that will always be used, because there's also some strange JavaScript attributes they use for downloading stuff and giving these hints to other JavaScript. And this is one of the data last letter. So this is how you write to answer a question. The answer of Groovy was, do you see limits problems like target website changing its structure from time to time? You have to think of this. You have to think of the logic behind the website, and don't make it too complex. But this also gives you flexibility, because with the old approach of just getting stuff from somewhere, but from a dynamic generated JavaScript, which is different from every request, then you are not flexible. Yeah, Groovy, it can change, but it's very unlikely. We have to reduce the likelihood of change by thinking ahead, using natural intelligence. Artificial intelligence won't suffice. So this is what I already say. I see the pro tip at the bay. Don't wait for a static time. Use some EC for this. You will be safer and have less errors. Groovy got it. Next we get from, okay, so now we already know it's loaded. We know the information for the news is loaded. Next we try to find from this list. The the data filter target list, which is the root of the news. So first we waited for items which have data filter target, and now we want something where there's already a list. As you can see, this is really, really common. They just use a data filter target list. I don't really know how they should change it, or some uninformed web developer could break it for us, because they already use some abstraction which generates as this. So this is already internal logic of the abstraction, and this is not something they will change. Look like people using whatever framework they just use the front end. They or the meta language, they don't generate this on their own. So this is where keeping people away from low level code helps us at all. So get some data metadata from the Atom feed. So like the title. First we get this one. It's easy. Look at its XPath. It's we want from this we want meta and some OG title, and this is also something. OG title is a standard from HTML5 you can easily find. Yeah, and this is how we get titles. So next is but this is the title for the whole page. This is for the whole feed, and this is standardized. This is just standard property. So next we just print out standard stuff, like the link we have, the description, and so on. This is the header, like we did in the easy example. Then we generate the updated one. So this is the easy format for it. This is easy. Then we come to the entries. First we get the articles or entries, and we try to find all diffs in this table or list. Of course, this depends on what you're parsing. Then we prepare some base URI. This is needed because when you have relative links, there's no other way to resolve it. And then we go over the articles. As you can see with the last articles, this is I revert the order of the list, and I by putting these colons there, I also copy the list. Well, that's Python logic. We don't need to talk about it. Then we find in down. So this, as you can see in Python, you always go down one tab. So four articles, look at it. Now we are one tab down. This is why, because we are now working on one entry, one article. So first we get the link. This is easy. We just get A, like in paths, dot slash, we want A from this one. Of course, you could use some other ways to find elements, but for me, it's the easiest way. Then we get the link from it, which is of course the attribute. It's href. And then we check if they put some relative link or a standard link inside, and then we add the base link. Then we get the title. Of course, they use again data title. That's a standard. They won't really change it. Then p content. This is the text from the article. So easy, if you want to have the text of whatever element, just make dot text. P authors is something standard because I didn't get it from somewhere else. Then we parse the date time. This is always a problem, date time parsing. This could change, but normally, depending on which language you parse, it doesn't change too often. But of course, this can change between countries. So, and there's no real standard, but here's a way how you can do it, like in C. First we get the time. As you can see, they also use the element time. This won't change over time. Then we parse it. It's in German, it's like day, month, and year. Year with four digits. And we get it. Then we have to do some magic in Python. So there's in a date time object, you always need a time zone and an hour and a minute and a second. That's what we are adding. That's why we are adding the UTC time zone. because it doesn't really matter. We just need relative to it because your feed parser will change this. But of course, over time, we will need to know when closely did something happen. Next, we print the entry. That's also pretty easy. See, I like pretty printing even from scripts. Look at the title. I put C data around it because we don't know what we get back. The P link is easy. This will be a URI. The ID, that's what I do. You need giving an ID to your feed reader is always nice because then it can easily organize the database. If you don't give it normally it will be the one assigned. Title, put around C data because you don't know what you get. It could be UTF-8, it could ISO or something, it will break. Then the link, then the order name. That's the standard you have above, but you could parse it from somewhere, then update it. And content, also please put it around C data. C data will preserve everything, even if you just pushed text into it with new lines and so on. That's also an advantage of using C data. And then we print out the footer that the feed ends. Here's the full example. You can check it out. It's a bit bigger because it's how I invoke my Atom feeds. It has some main function around it and how it's called. That's for Python when you make it an object and so on. So you can use it. And for example scripts, there's also one. Evil Bob posted it today. Thank you very much. Yesterday. If you go there, I'm going there. You have the Selenium crawl TSV thing, and there he presents you that he uses, I think, which Chrome driver are you using? You're using Headless? Firefox. He's using the Firefox driver, and he is demonstrating how to make a TSV format from it, which you can of course then give to SFeed natively. Yeah, Evil Bob, if you look at my stuff, you see that you can have a better expected condition, for example, because there's a bug in your script that if it doesn't load fast enough, then you won't get any content. Because this is one problem you always have when you, for example, execute the Selenium stuff in your Python shell, then of course there wasn't much time to load everything, but expect your script to run a bit faster. It could be too fast and there's still nothing loaded in the Chrome browser or the browser. So add some waiting, add some condition that everything is there. Evil Bob is adding, I might write something to dump DRM videos or just write a page source after it ran JavaScript. Yes, that's also something good. But Evil Bob, that's a problem you can't really solve with getting the content because JavaScript could still keep on running. So, but you have intermediate stage. So, summary. With Selenium, you can script all modern web in all ways. It's a standard. You can use it in the future. You can base stuff on it. It's modular. We fight bloat with bloat. So you have to run a full web process to parse the web. Maybe in the future there will be something simpler, but you always require all the logic because that's how people write websites or make them. We want to avoid it with scraping. That's why we do scraping. But it doesn't seem to be possible for everything. So my approach is first to the simple one and then go to the complex one when you can't really easily scrape it. Because it's always running some big browser thing, just curl or hurl and grep and set. That's how I first start. And then when I'm done and I have my script running, I don't really need to consider going into Python or some more complex thing. You can easily prototype stuff with IPython. Because then you have all the state, you can go around, you can parse stuff. This is some way how we all are always ahead of the complexity of the web people. because this is something important. We need to be more technological advanced than the amateurs. There are still privacy concerns because you're running a huge blob of hundreds of thousands of slog. Mostly it's a binary thing, and you don't know what's doing, because look at Google, who wants to extract stuff, and this Chrome driver of course does it too. You have to disable stuff. We try to disable the extension and so on, but Google has its own certificate database inside. It has its own extension, all of that. It's all deep inside. So to show you this, we go into philosophy. It's Plato's cave allegory. And as you can see, this is how the world works. Most people are on the left side. This is a cave. They're standing there watching a screen. That's the hashes there. That's the hashes there. And behind them is a wall. And behind the wall is a man who's holding up a hash. That's the hash that's displayed on the screen. And this hash is displayed because the sun, which is on the right, is of course giving it a shadow. So you only see the shadow of it. And this is Plato's allegory. Most people stand in this cave and they only watch the shadows. If they want to go out and see the bright sky, the bright sun, they will be blinded. And their eyes will hurt. And this is why they go back and want to be in this safe space where there's no one who hurts them. Where they just sit in the warm cave. People are presenting something. They even make the shadows more viable, more easy to use. But some people are able to go out, see the real world, go onto wide seas, use ships, travel around, and they will never look back to the caves. And this is what we are. We are going out of this. We know out of the web how to use it, how the deep technology works. And those people, those are the web users, they want to stay inside. They want to stay in their JavaScript frameworks. They will stay there. This is why we will never get them out of this. This is why they will always go for the easiest product that is easiest to use. Because otherwise their eyes will hurt. This slide should be in the Bitrush ad system. Yeah, ADC, just do it. Do it. Do it. GGG is saying Chinese has a Chinese. Yeah, might find it interesting. Okay. I will read it up. Thankfully, I can just copy and paste your UTF-8 fonts and read it up, whatever you mean. Thank you for giving this talk. Maybe he's from China, GGG is from China. And I guess most of the stuff we have in Greek philosophy, Plato's is from Greek philosophy, also happened in China. Okay, there's a question. You got a question? But I will keep up the nice slot. Kruv is asking, do we need to agree on one of the drivers if we want to share and exchange our scrape scripts? Kruv, you don't really need to. Because as I said, it's a standard. If you keep to the standard, you don't have a problem. But for example, the bidirect stuff, which I talked about in JavaScript, where you get locks, this is a separate standard, which was first implemented by Chromium. And I guess Firefox knows it, but other browsers won't. But the goal in the end is to have a standard. But that's like using strange CSS extensions, which are just working in WebKit, when you want to format them and then wonder why it doesn't work in Edge or something. That's the same. There's always a strange extension. Are there any other questions? I hope people liked my presentation. It shows you something. Because this is just simple tools which will allow you to go out of the cave. To see the world as it is. And by this, experiencing as it is. And by doing that, you make your personality better. Crew, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So next thing,